The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. So here we are, the final episode about Túrin and Nienor, the story of the children of Húrin. And it's kind of a mixed emotion for me. This story is so good, and yet so terrible, so tragic. You might have noticed that I don't have any background sounds. It is simply me and you and the silence. And you can't really give a moment of silence in a podcast because that's a little bit awkward. This is about as close as we can get to a moment of silence. And that will make sense as we finish this chapter. But one of the things I want you to think about as we get through the rest of this story is why. Why this story? Why these tragic events? Why this much sorrow and sadness? And we've talked about the way that the world descends, decays over time, and these kinds of themes in Tolkien's work. And we've seen it firsthand. The things that the elves make don't actually last forever. They themselves can last forever, or at least as long as the world lasts. But the machinations of Melkor, Morgoth, the terrible things that go on wear the world down over time. The kingdoms of the elves don't stand forever. We've already seen the fall of Nargothrond. By the Third Age, the world is looking pretty worse for wear. The elven kingdoms have been reduced to a few locations: Rivendell, Lothlorien, some other minor locations like the kingdom in Mirkwood. Even the human kingdoms are still not doing so well in the Third Age. Everything seems to decline. But does everything decline? Is hope one of those things that withers with time? Look at the Shire. Even at the end of the Return of the King, in the actual story version, the book, we don't see this in the movies, you have the scouring of the Shire. Even the hobbits themselves are not safe from the terrible evils of the world. But then after that, things are different. The story of the Shire after the end of the Return of the King is a story of renewal. We learn that after Frodo leaves, Sam is in a sense freed up to become his most, his best self. His potential finally blossoms. He ends up becoming the mayor of the Shire multiple times over. He gets married, he has lots of children, and he regrows the Shire because he's a farmer. But he does it in a way where he is one of the most respected members of the community. He's one of the best leaders the Shire has ever had. And you get renewal. That does happen. The return of the king itself. The king coming back to the throne of Gondor and Arnor is renewal. Under Aragorn's reign, men enter a new golden era. And sure, all of these things don't last forever. But in time, and during certain times, there are good things. Now let's take a look at Turin's story. Before we get into it, although there are terrible things that happen, his life is like a microcosm. There are good things that happen as well. He is cursed. His family is cursed. The things that he can do don't always work out in the end, but he is still capable of great good, of hope, of love. When he falls to his lowest points, and it happens multiple times, he gets back up again, over and over, knowing that he is cursed, knowing that there will be terrible things that come from his actions, from things that he doesn't even intend, from his haste, from his wrath, from these qualities, bad things will occur. But at the same time, his passion, his love, his strength bring hope and good events as well. This is the story of humanity. This is the human condition, all wrapped up in the story about one person, or even just a little family, and the people they meet along the way. So with that in mind, let's continue into the last section of this story. When we wrapped up last time, we were dealing with the fallout of the events with Glaurung and Turin killing the beast, and then Niniel, Nienor, chasing after him and then finding him and thinking he was dead. You had this, remember this kind of Shakespearean moment. And then Brandir returns. He witnesses all of this. He returns to the people, the rest of the men of Brethil, and says, this is what happened. Basically, I've learned all of what happened. The dragon is dead, but Turin also lays dead beside him. And I also found out that Niniel was in fact Turin's sister, Nienor, and that the Black Sword was in fact Turin, and that this is a terrible situation, but it's in the end, it's good. These are good tidings. And then Turin shows up. He wakes back up from his stupor or whatever he was in. And he returns to these people. And Dorlas's wife cries out, "Nay, Lord, he is crazed, for he came here saying that you are dead. And he called it good tidings, but you live." And then Turin becomes wrathful. And he didn't know what to believe about what Brandir was saying, and if this came from his mind, if this was his own malice, or if these were actually the words of Glaurung, or if Glaurung was lying. But he was upset, and he calls him Clubfoot. He makes fun of him. And in this moment, this is where there's a back and forth between the two of them, and he doesn't believe Brandir, and then he feels like Brandir's just trying to push his agenda. He doesn't know what to think. He's angry. He's wrathful. And then he curses Brandir and slays him in this moment, and then runs from the people of the woods. This madness comes over him again. We've seen this happen a number of times where his emotions take over and then he flees. He kills somebody and runs away. But not too long after that, we're told that his madness left him, and he came to the Hod and Eleth Hill, the hill where Findulas was buried. And he sits there, pondering all of his deeds, everything that has happened, his life. And he cries out to Findulas to bring him counsel. And it says here, for he knew not whether he would do now more ill to go to Doriath to seek his kin, or to forsake them forever and seek death in battle. Do I continue on and try to figure out if these things are real? If my mother, my sister are out there somewhere? Or do I take these things as fact and I find an honorable death? And in this moment, Mablung and his company of gray elves cross over the Teeglen, and they see Turin at a distance, and they know him. Mablung recognizes this is Turin, and they hail him, and they're happy to find that he's still alive. They knew that Glaurung had left Nargothrond and could be dangerous, and they'd kind of followed the path back to Brethil, and they'd heard that the Black Sword of Nargothrond now dwelt in this area because of just a few of the events that happened. Remember, he tried not to go out as the Black Sword very often, but at one point he did. And so Mablung came here to give warning to Turin. But Turin tells him, "You come too late. The dragon is dead." Now, you have to imagine their reaction to this. The dragon is dead? You killed Glaurung? You killed this monstrosity of Morgoth? That is amazing. So they marvel at this, and they give him praise. And he cares nothing, nothing about it. There's only one thing on his mind, his mother and his sister. And so he says, "This only I ask, give me news of my kin, for in Dor Loman I learned that they had gone to the Hidden Kingdom." And at this, Mablung is dismayed. It says here, "But he needs must tell to Turin how Morwen was lost and Nienor cast into a spell of dumb forgetfulness, and how she escaped them upon the borders of Doriath and fled northward." Then at last, Turin knew that doom had overtaken him, and that he had slain Brandir unjustly. Brandir's words were true. He may have been saying them in a way that was rude or unappealing, but he was speaking the truth. And that the words of Glaurung were fulfilled in him, and he laughed as one fey, crying, "This is a bitter jest indeed." But he bade Mablung go and return to Doriath with curses upon it. "And a curse too upon your errand," he cried. "This only was wanting. Now comes the night." He knows in this moment, because Mablung is a trusted source, that everything Glaurung said is true. And you can see that he is angry. He is a wrathful individual. He has been manipulated. And every time he's tried to do something good, it seems to get twisted to evil. And even in this, his greatest moment, the slaying of the dragon, he learns that on a personal level, his life feels like a joke. His sister he accidentally wed, not knowing that that was his sister, and had loved her twice in different ways. Try wrestling with that. And on top of that, his mother is just gone. She's disappeared. Nobody seems to know where she ended up. There's nobody else in this world that he cares for. He's lost Beleg. He's lost his family. His father is still chained. to the walls of Morgoth's fortress? What does he do now?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. I hope you are enjoying this sad and tragic ending to the story of Turin. We will get to the rest of the story. There's just a little bit left, and then we're going to consider some things about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. But before we do that, I've got to thank our patrons for being awesome supporters of this show. And we have to welcome our newest patrons, Melody, welcome. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Drupal 2005 and TJT and Natalie G and Kingapolg 8. I probably butchered that one, but welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for being here and supporting the show. Thank you to all 193 of you, and a big shout out to all of our VIP patrons: Bo, Brad S, Brandy D, Chewbacca, David M, Drupal, I'm just going to call you Drupal, Esoteric Rage, Jesse P, Capenna, Larry, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Patrick W., Sam B., Shannon L., Tyler M., and Wes P. Thank you to all of you for supporting this project. I'm glad that you're still here. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. And I am excited to wrap up this story, because this is one of Tolkien's best stories. I mean, you could argue it's his best story, but some people would say Beren and Lúthien or whatever. In fact, let me know so far, based on the stuff that we've talked about, chime in either on the Discord or on the Patreon. Let me know what you think is the best story so far. I'd love to hear a different perspective. I should put a poll up somewhere and see what you all say. But thank you to all of you for the support. Also, we have one tiny new review. This one tiny new review says, it comes from Cole767. It says Aragorn 27946. Maybe that's another name you go by, but that I don't. OK. And then it says, I love this so much. Hearts, 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 hearts. So thank you so much, Cole. And maybe there's a hidden meaning in Aragorn 27946. Is that a hidden meaning? I don't know. But thank you for dropping that. If you would like to help support the show and get your words read out on a future episode, then leaving a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts is the way to do it. You can also rate this show on Spotify and other locations. 5-star ratings are a huge help. Absolutely. They let people know that this show is worth checking out. So if you love this, if I've done anything to get you through your workday or any of that stuff, then please, please consider helping out. And if you're interested in the Patreon, you want to check out all the different stuff you can get, including the bonus episodes. And today's bonus episode, by the way, we're going to be answering some of the questions and some of the comments that have come up on the Patreon. So we're going to continue that conversation, which I always look forward to. And so go to patreon.com/LOTRLorecast and check it out. That's all we got for the middle of the show. I hope you're enjoying it. And let's continue with the final bit of Turin's story. So we're back, and we have the equivalent of, I don't know, three paragraphs left. I mean, these are Tolkien paragraphs, which sometimes are very complex sentences that look like a paragraph. But these ones aren't too bad. that's one of the reasons why these stories are so difficult to read, is that he writes complex sentences, which got me in trouble in school because I tried writing like him because I thought it was really cool. And then my teachers were like, what are you doing? I clearly was not the professor. So here, why don't we do this? I'm going to read through this final section and then we'll talk about it, because I think that's kind of a fun way to approach this. This last little section says, "Then he fled from them like the wind," them being the group of gray elves in Mablung, "and they were amazed, wondering what madness had seized him. And they followed after him, after Turin far outran them." Imagine outrunning, I guess I'm going to stop and comment a little bit. Imagine outrunning a group of elves. He is an amazing human being. "But Turin far outran them, and he came to Carib and Arras and heard the roaring of the river." He's back to the water, to that section where he had fought the dragon. "And saw that all the leaves fell there from the trees, as though winter had come. There he drew forth his sword, that now alone remained to him of all his possessions. And he said, 'Hail, Gurthang, no lord or loyalty dost thou know, save the hand that wieldeth thee. From no blood wilt thou shrink. Wilt thou therefore take Turin to Rumbar? Wilt thou slay me swiftly?' And from the blade rang a cold voice in answer, 'Yea, I will drink thy blood gladly, that so I may forget the blood of Beleg, my master, and the blood of Brandir slain unjustly. And I will slay thee swiftly.' And then Turin set the hilts upon the ground and cast himself upon the point of Gurthang, and the black blade took his life. But Mablung and the elves came and looked on the shape of Glaurung lying dead, and upon the body of Turin, and they grieved. And when men of Brethil came thither, and they learned the reasons of Turin's madness and death, they were aghast. And Mablung said bitterly, 'I also have been meshed in the doom of the children of Húrin, and thus with my tidings have slain one that I loved.' Then they lifted up Turin and found that Gurthang had broken asunder. But elves and men gathered their great store of wood, and they made a mighty burning, and the dragon was consumed to ashes. Turin they laid in a high mound where he had fallen, and the shards of Gurthang were laid beside him. And when all was done, the elves sang a lament for the children of Húrin, and a great gray stone was set upon the mound, and thereon was carven in runes of Doriath, 'Turin, Turambar, Dagnir, Glaurunga.' And beneath they also wrote, 'Nienor, Niniel.' And she was not there, nor was it ever known whither the cold waters of Teiglin had taken her." And that's it. That's the end of the story. Now, there are a few things to dissect in this. Let's go into the details a little bit. But if you're like I am, you get through that, and it's another moment of just chills, right? This is, it's a powerful and yet tragic and sad moment here at the end. So let's talk about this. First of all, we have the sword speaking. The sword actually answers. It talks back. Now, why is that? Is this a magical sword? Well, yeah, it was crafted by the elves. It was a powerful weapon, like many elven weapons we've heard about in these stories. But this thing can actually talk. Like, it speaks. This is similar. This is another mythological reference. There are items and weapons and objects in mythology across multiple cultures that speak. And sometimes it's just one time. There's just a key moment and something needs to be said from the perspective of the sword. And is it probably metaphorical? Is it maybe a voice in the protagonist's head? Maybe. There's, I might have mentioned this on a really early episode. The Synoptic Gospel of Thomas, I believe, has the moment where the stone is rolled away from the tomb after the 3 days after Jesus has died and buried, and people come to see if Jesus is still there. And the boulder speaks, I believe. I believe it's the boulder. Or the cross. No, it's the cross. I'm sorry. It's the cross. The cross is leaning up against the side of the opening, the doorway. And the cross, it simply speaks like, yay, or something like that. So this happens, and this goes way, way back. So there's that. That happens here. Then you have the section where Mablung is lamenting what had happened. And he says, I also have been meshed in the doom of the children of Húrin, and thus with my tidings have slain one that I loved. He holds it to himself. The fact that he shared the truth led to Túrin's death. And Túrin eventually would have learned the truth. I think this is just a moment where Mablung is sad because he's losing somebody that he cared for. And he cared for Túrin's family. Under his guidance, tragedy befell all of them. That's not an easy thing to struggle with. Now let's talk about this mound. This mound that is built here is a piece of land that will never sink under the ocean. And we know, moving into the second era, that the world is reshaped. The island of Numenor is given to men. But there are a few places in Beleriand that do not go under the waves. Túrin's Mound is one of them. Now, it's given a different name because of events that we haven't spoken about yet. Or at least the location is updated. We'll just say that for now. But this is a location that does not sink beneath the waves. Out of respect, I believe, from the Valar to Túrin and the struggles and the terrible things that Túrin suffered. Now, you might also be wondering about the runes carved. Words are hard, everybody. By the way, somebody mentioned that I should make that one of the shirts that I put up on Patreon for everybody. Maybe I'll come up with some designs for that. But you can, there currently is a Words Are Hard and also Huon is the bestest boy t-shirt up on robotsradio.net. If you want to get one of those shirts, they're priced fairly cheaply. I try to keep the prices as low as I can. But anyway, you might be wondering what this rune means. Túrin, Túrinbar, we know those. Dagnir, Glarunga. That means Bane of Glarung. He is defined by this moment, by being Glarung's Bane. And then, of course, Nienor and then her alternate name, Niniel, were also there. But they never did find her body. We don't know where her body ended up. So this is more of a gravesite, in a way, a tomb, a burial mound. We'll just call it a burial mound because that's what it is, out of respect, knowing that she most likely is gone. So the other thing I wanted to point out about this story is that Túrin's story isn't actually done in a few different ways. I guess I could say it like this. Húrin's story is not finished. So there's more there. This is not the end of his story. Another thing to note, that this is, in a way, the abridged version of the story that came out in the Silmarillion decades before Christopher Tolkien had the time to actually pull together more information about this story and flesh out what actually became a novel, The Children of Húrin. And I think we'll put that on the list of things to go back and visit and read through that and see some of the similarities and differences and what things get added. His story gets fleshed out even more in that. So there's that. But then there's also the concept of the end of the world. And I believe I talked about this in one of the bonus episodes where I basically laid out Tolkien's unfinished version of the way the world would end. And among many other things that happen, it's this apocalyptic story similar to what you could read in the Book of Revelation in the Bible or Ragnarok, this kind of end of world scenario. And in it, Melkor is returned. Melkor, at one point, and we'll get there, is banished and can no longer come into Arda. And that's why Sauron is the main Dark Lord of the Second and Third Age, right? But Melkor returns, and this climactic battle ends all of time. And somebody else returns. The Valar bring back Túrin, because Túrin is the most cursed. He's the most suffering of all of humanity. He's also their greatest warrior. And the sword is reforged. And in that story, which is on the edges of canon, it wasn't actually published anywhere in a canon type of form. And Tolkien's works are a little bit funny as to what is and what isn't canon. But in this story, Túrin is given the honor of slaying Melkor. And if that is not, I don't know. I mean, yeah, battle and murder, all of those things, that sounds so dark, but at the same time, justice. If that is not fitting of the torment of what humanity has gone through because of the evils of the world and the core proponent of those evils, and Túrin himself is brought back and given the honor of ending Melkor. Isn't that just great? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you for being here for this story. I've enjoyed every bit of it, probably more than all of you, but I appreciate you being here. We will continue with chapter 22 of the Silmarillion next week. And until then, stay safe out there. I'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.